Shulim. But since it's the night of Slichas, I would like just again, not again, I've never investigated Slichas from the viewpoint from which I'm going to go, year before or last. Slichas is an old institution. How old it is, we don't know. Hard to guess. The Talmud specifically does not mention Slichas. The institution of Slichas not mentioned the Talmud explicitly. Implicitly, yes. Not explicitly. We'll see later where the implication is. However, I'm pretty sure, I'm certain, that it's an institution which goes back to certainly Talmudic times. I mean, but Talmudic times also, it's not just a short period. How far in antiquity, I mean, this institution can be traced, I don't know. It's a very old institution. The game mentioned it. But the game doesn't mention it as something new which they have introduced, but as something which has been in existence, I mean, before that. The game speak of Slichas as Ramon Goyen, of Sadi Goyen, as something which is known to everybody. And they don't explain. Apparently, they're very old. However, there are, of course, to say Slichas Midereise is very ridiculous. Of course, it is an institution. It's a minhag. Ramses Vinuago called Israel. But the minhag is based upon sometimes minhogim. I want you to understand. Sometimes minhogim and aloha. Per se, the aloha is only midrabbonim, of a rabbinic origin. However, the basis, the background of this particular aloche or of this particular minhag is midraise, is biblical in origin. And it is actually sometimes the central thought, so to say the foundation, central thought, a very important idea in Yahadus is the foundation of custom. And exactly Slichas belongs into that category. The only source, basically what is Slichas? We get together, we say piyutim, we say some psukim, we say Adishem Torah Vechanun, we say vidui, we say short prayer for the end, the litany like to a prayer, like Anein Adishem Anein, very short. Not elaborate prayers, as the style, as the theme, as to the theme. Piyutim are very elaborate, very complex. Piyutim, I mean, actually, the authors of the Piyutim have. We are very erudite. Your knowledge of Midrash is sometimes amazing, puzzling. However, the last two of them, Sanei Hashem and Eni Mishon Avon and Bahar Amriya, are the oldest. They go back to the times of the second Talmud, the second Bishamidrash, the second temple. Certain parts are quoted in Talmud, for instance. Shemnesre, with the 24 brochas, which he used to recite on Harabais, in times of this prayers, used to conclude each brocha, the 24 brochas, the 6 additional brochas, conclude, Mishon Elav Esein Al Yamsuz, Mishon Elav Rabo Vino Bar Amariya, Mishon Elav Gav Lishlein, and so forth. However, it involves a few, this institution actually, as I said, is representative of a few important ideas. If you'll be so kind, you'll just open up the Gemara as Rosh Hashanah. I'll just do this. Yes. Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. The Amud Beis is about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. About 9 psukim from the top. It's the 9th pasuk from the top. Vayaver ad Hashem al pono vayikro. It's interesting. How do we translate the word Vayaver ad Hashem al pono vayikro? God, what punishment? What punishment? Whose countenance? Whose countenance? Macias. God passed by Macias' countenance, and after he left Macias, so Macias saw just Nahurai. He saw God proclaim the 13 principles of Nahurai. Correct? That apparently, Chazal and Tevla Yavir Adishem Alpanov, that the countenance means the divine. But Yavir Adishem Alpanov, which means he wrapped himself. Wrapped himself. Omar Rabbi Yechanan said, Il Mole Mikro Kosuk, if the Kosuk hadn't said it like that, Yevshel Eimre, you wouldn't be able to say it. It would sound like blasphemy. Melamechen is Satev Akodesh Boko Kishliach Tibo. God has wrapped himself in a palace, the way Shliach Tzibur wrapped himself in a palace. Atifet, filo leone ki yapi, ki yapi. He was completely enveloped by it. By the Amud, by the Amud Onan. Ve'ero lele Meshe, and he showed the Meshe, he demonstrated to Meshe, say that filo. The order of recitations, of prayers, Omale, he told him, because man she Israel chaitim, whenever Israel commits sins, then they will be ready for repentance. Yasu lefonai kaseder hazeh, they should pray in accordance with this order, with these rules, v'ani mecholev, and I'll forgive. Of course, this is the source in the Gemara, which is responsible for Shlichus. What is Slichas? Slichas means prayer for forgiveness. I mean, it's called Slichas, not called Tzilas, nor is it called, Ritzui, but Slichas. Slichas. Even the word Slichas is of later origin. The Gaelim speak of Mamot Slichas, of Mamot Slichas, an assembly of Slichas. Or Mamot Slichas ve Ritzui, an assembly of Slichas, and supplication. That's how the Gaelim speak about Mahmud. Mahmud means an assembly, a solemn assembly, a great assembly, a great assembly. But later, the word Mahmud was eliminated, it was shortened, abbreviated, and then you call it Slichas. Slichas in colloquial Yiddish, in colloquial Hebrew also. Slichas. You say Slichas, you recite Slichas. Slichas means prayer for Slichas, you understand me. Is the Rebbeinu Shlom has taught Meshe how to say Slichas. But this is, he has taught him, not only taught him, he demonstrated. You see, there is teaching, sometimes there are two kinds of teaching. Teaching from speech, by words, and teaching by demonstration, by example. You said, Melamed Shuni Satev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur. The Rebbeinu Shlom demonstrated to him as if he were the Shliach Tzibur, the Chazan, the representative of the community, and he demonstrated how Slichas should be recited. Vayaver Hashem al ponov, Rebbeinu Shlom wrapped himself. Talas, Vayikro, and he read, he recited the Seder Tzvi. This is how Chazal interpreted the passage. First of all, we've got to understand what is it. We've never come across another passage in Gemara in which he stated that Rabbeinu Shlom taught Moshe or any other prophet how to pray. On the contrary, how to pray, you left to man. Man should know how to pray, how to approach it. But here, apparently, the Rabbeinu Shlom did not rely on Moshe, didn't rely on anybody. Simply, he told him not only to pray for Slichas, but how to pray. He taught him, he trained him, and by demonstrating. There are actually, and it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't mention it, but all the Sheni mention it. Slichas is only at night, not in daytime. There's no Slichas in daytime. In fact, the two is Slichas, before Shachar, there's no precedent, actually. It's wrong. Slichas is said at night, and finished at night. Or with daybreak. The Ram says, Lokum balaylo, to get up. Night will spallow the body knesses until daybreak, until the morning star rises. It means to stop Slichas this daybreak. Already the poskim have quoted the pasuk of Echa, kumereini balayla, lereish hashmuris, shifri kamayim libeich, neichach pnei adeshem, al nefesh elalayich, atutin barol, bereish kolchut. So the right from the kumereini balayla to derive the thought of the principle that lichas be recited only at night. When at night, you find already among the Geim controversy. Some say at midnight, but most of them say the last couple of hours, I mean, the last Hashmeira, the last part. It means just an hour or two before they break. Reish Hashmuris. Reish Hashmuris means they used to divide the night into three parts, you see. It means at the beginning of each part, it's very hard to know. The night is a 12-hour period, so then it was divided into three Ashmuras. Into three Ashmuras, it means one Ashmura was six, was for instance sunset, 10 was the first part, was the conclusion, then 2 o'clock, and then 6 again. Reish Ashmuras at night. Basically, if you'll just investigate the Seder Tefillah, our Seder, is at night, with the exception of the Shem Nesre, there is no Tefillah at night. There are no Tefillahs at night, with the exception of Shem Nesre. And the Shem Nesre itself is not treated on par with Shachis and Mircha. You know very well that Shachis and Mircha are chevo, obligatory. Mayriv is according to one opinion which has been accepted, even though now we have accepted this chevo. To take for instance the Broches of Kriyashma. In the morning and at night. Is at night you have only one broche which was purposely introduced, Ashkivenu. But the other broches, prayer was eliminated. Wow. For instance, take the broche of Yetzirah and Verechesh and Verech Sakel in the morning. It is half of the broche consists in pleading with God, they should have mercy on us. In the evening, at night, you don't have any petition in Asher B'dvorim Marev HaRavim. In Hav HaSelom, Hav HaRavo is, in the morning Hav HaRavo is, the Broch of Freya. Voyer Aneinu B'Sirotecho, enlighten us. Yachid Lavein Lav Yireh Shmecho, consecrate our heart, I mean, we fear thy name. Aveinu Yisholom HaMakam Fisororeb, Shlachinu Kimiyus La'atzeinu, Kepur. It's prayer, it's repetition. Hava Shalom at night is just a statement. Hava Shalom. It does not mean it's not a petition. It's more, an expression of confidence. God will never remove his love or never extinguish his feelings of love and mercy, which he bestows upon us. But it's not petition. As a matter of fact, in many texts, it's not auto, leisosir memenel avim. Not leisosir, leisosir memenel avim. Leisosir means will never be removed. Not, you should not remove. Ezra Savisena, Atomeila, Mangashim Lachem, Cholder, Vadeir. In Mayriv, it's just Temes, Munich, Odessa, Kaim, Aleinu. It's much shorter, abbreviated. What is eliminated element of prayer? Basically, Chazal had a very strange idea that the evening and the night was designated for Torah, not for Torah. The davel, Ma'ariv, how long does it take? And then the rest of the night, you consecrate your devotion to study. And Chazal had spoken about Torah at night, the study of Torah in the evening or at night in glowing terms. Sometimes we are simply puzzled. What did Chazal see, in the combination of Akhtere and Lila and night? But Chazal, if you take a look, you have all the Rambams of Yerushalayim. Yuches Chu, I mean Yuches Talmud Torah, if you just open the Rambam Yuches Talmud Torah. Even though it's incumbent upon one, obligatory, to study at daytime and at night, ein adam lomed reif chachmas ela balayla. A man cannot acquire wisdom unless he studies at night. Lefichoch misherotza liskes bekesa shol teiro. Whoever wants to acquire the crown of Torah, to be adorned, is the crown of Torah, or to be raised in the crown of Torah, Yizoyer b'chol leisur, should be careful at night. V'leyeva, they should not lose afilo echad men, even a single night. B'sheine, on sleeping, v'achilo lishtiye, or feasting, eating, or siche, conversation, v'kayetzere. They should spend the night, elo b'talmud teiro v'divrei chochma. All not talmud teiro. Amru chachomim, ein rino shel teiro elo balayra. The song of teiro can only be heard. Specific significance, added significance, only when it is recited at night. Shnema kumi reini balayla, very interesting. Kumi reini balayla, we interpret, come and pray at night, reini, nishmei ala rina vala tfila. It's Chazal actually, Chazal always interpret, rina zuteo. Nishmei ala rina vala tfila, rina zuteo, that Chazal interpreted in Brochus. Decholeisek batero balayla, whoever engages in the study of Torah at night, chutzel chesed in Shachon. It means the grace of God is bestowed upon him. Shneemar yemom yitzave ad Hashem chazdei. In the daytime God bestows his chesed. In valaylo shiro ime tfilo lekeil chayo. And at night I engage in singing, in shiro. And in praying to the God of man who gave me life. V'chol bayi shenishmoyim b'divre teiro b'laylo eish achlose, and so forth. Night, the night for study of Torah at the most appropriate time assumes almost mythical proportions here. Basically, it's a collection, a compilation of Memorah Chazal. There is nothing which the Rambam has of his own. And Rambam did not introduce anything, of his own, anything original. It's just a compiled Memorah Chazal, which was scattered all over the literature. He compiled at night. At night is there. As a matter of fact, you know very well that no Tilim is recited at night, before Chatzis, never. Chassidim don't even say Dovid HaShemeir V'Yishi at night. Dovid HaShemeir V'Yishi, they say it once in the morning, and the second time at Mincha, not at night. Dovid HaShemeir V'Yishi is a psalm. Psalms are not recited at night, before Chatzis. This is the reason that we wait with Slichas for Chatzis, because Slichas is a compilation of Psukim. So you wait for Chatzis. It's basically night is the time of tefillah, of tefillah, not tefillah. Very strange. However, this is what Chazal have introduced. It goes back to Chazal. Livre lelye el legilse, the night is being created only for study. Only for study. Apparently, the exception was made for the night of Slichas. The night of Slichas, actually, prayer service, tzure, which takes place at night. Vortos, eftachtos, doesn't matter, in the morning, but it is never, the order has been changed. Instead of tere, so tzure was introduced. And I want you to understand, the Slichas of old used to take hours. It was not just simple as that. How long does it take? Nowadays, for the first slichas, 45 minutes, an hour, or for shorter hours, shorter slichas are very long, exceptionally long, takes a couple of hours, you have to say. It's long slichas. But actually, they had much more slichas. Slichas have been abbreviated. The slichas we have are just one part. It's a fragment of the slichas which have been introduced by the game. Both, it was a lot more of tilling, Psalms of Tilim were recited. piyuti, and the viduyim were longer. For instance, the vidur havnisim going is a part of slichas. The vidur havnisim going is a part of slichas. So basically, this is the first idea. During the night of slichas, the Rambam knows slichas only on the Seraph in the Churi, on the 8 days, the 7 days, the Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Yeah. We have extended slichas to a week before Rosh Hashanah. And the Sfardim have extended slichas to the full month of Elul. They start slichas the second day of Rosh Chodesh and Elul. They start slichas. All our Yentl communities say slichas. Of course, we don't have slichas for each day, separate slichas. Well, we have separate slichas for each day. The Sfardim don't have separate slichas because it would be necessary to have, for the separate slichas systems, you see. Actually, they have one slicha, a few piyutim, and of course, plus viduim and shivashem tovach v'cham and so forth. So the first, what has been introduced, what slichas represents, is tefillah b'layla. And the kumireni b'layla is reinterpreted. The Gemara interpreted kumireni b'layla is reference to Talmud Torah, rino shel Torah, for the limited time period. From tonight until the Kippur is Kumireni Balailo, we call not for Tere, but for Tere. Kumireni Balailo. This is the first fundamental, of Slichas. The night actually is assigned a new task, the task assigned to the Jew at night. Not so much Tere as Tere. Kumireni Balailo. Shifre Kamayim Lilech, of course, it fits beautifully into the framework of the Pasuk. Shifre Kamayim Lilech, Nechach Nei Adeshem, Al Nefesh Al Alayach. This is number one. Tefillah at night, this is the definition of Slichas means Tefillah at night. Within the Halachic, the Agadic and Kabbalistic system, it's almost sensational, Tefillah at night. At night is Teira. The week before Rosh Hashanah, the centrality, which we assign to Torah at night, changes into that of Torah. This is number one. That's why there are no slichas in the daytime. You see, on the Tonnes, you have slichas in the daytime. As a matter of fact, not Tonnes, they used to say slichas. The ancient custom, they used to say slichas, not following Shemesri, but within the framework of Slachlo Navinik Hotonim, Mahalo Makinik Veshanim. Kimichal Vesleyachotu, you still have in the Sidurim. I believe, Ashat Imer Kam Slichas, in some Siddurim you'll find, within the Brochet. So later they realized that it's too much of an interruption, of the Shem Nefre, within, during the Shem Nefre, and they've transferred Slichas to the end of the Shem Nefre, and following, Chazor Ashat, they say Slichas. But it's in daytime, and the Tonis, it's in daytime. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Slichas of Yom Noroyim, which commence today, tonight, is Tefillah B'Layla. At the daytime, it has limited significance, basically. Limited significance. That's why in many Hasidic communities, it's an old minhag, basically it's a Sephardic minhag. It's the first slicha, they say, either at midnight or late, early morning hours, before daybreak. And the following slicha, with the exception of Erev Rosh Hashanah, they say in the evening, following Ma'ariv. And of course, Ukrainian Hasidim say Slichas in the evening, following Ma'ariv. Because they have, the choice is either say Slichas following Ma'ariv, or to say Slichas, before Shachris. Means either to recite Slichas at night, or to recite Slichas in the morning. Of course, Slichas, 4 feet almost, it's worth if it is recited in the morning. Slichas and night are so, intertwined that they are almost inseparable. Because the Kumireni Balailo, which traditionally, usually, is interpreted in terms of study of Torah, is during the time of Slichas, the period of Slichas, the 10-14 days, actually is interpreted in terms of different semantics. Kumireni means simply to pray, plead with God, and so forth. Tefillah and Laila, it's one equation. It's the first principle. There's number two. There's another principle which is foundation of slichas. You don't have a Gemara brachas here. If someone could give me a Gemara brachas, it's also important. Of course, from the Kabbalistic viewpoint, we know why there is no tefillah at night. Because tefillah basically, you have a Gemara brachas, yeah. Yes. Tefillah basically plead for mercy. And night, at night, midas hadin, justice prevail. However, I'll tell you, at many times I've been thinking much about, first about the idea, a very strange idea, that at night there is not tefillah, or tefillah at the minimum. Tefillah at the minimum, just maariv. And tefillah is assigned to the day time. While Torah has been proclaimed as the performance which should take place at night, and the exception to the rule is slichas. Basically, night, you see, doche siveke balayla. Basically, usually at night, when one is worried, or when one finds himself in distress, or is burdened with sorrow, is concerned about something, when he has no peace of mind, it's the worst time for him. The night is night. Even physical pain, very well, physical pain is more pronounced at night than during the daytime. Even doctors can confirm that. More pronounced. What the reason is, I don't know, I don't understand. But even the Gemara knew about it. With daybreak, the patient improves. And particularly anxiety, feeling of loneliness, or sorrow, or depression. All those feelings become intensified and magnified at night. There are many reasons. All right, fine, but I was bad at me. Even the temperature goes up. Yes, I'm not trying to explain it medically. I'm not my team. Anyway, at night. And at night, basically, you see tefillah, the whole year round, the institution of tefillah in general is based upon the awareness of man as a very important being. You see, man, Yahadus always thought of man in terms of two categories, of two principles which are mutually exclusive. They are contradictory. One principle in Yahadus says, one doctrine of man says in Yahadus, man is an important being, he's a great being, he's a powerful being. Men can achieve heights which are actually fantastic. Dizzying high, intellectually, spiritually, men can actually rise, to such heights at which, he and angels, meet. As a matter of fact, the Bala Kabbalah always said that, the Bala Kabbalah always insisted that man is superior to an angel. The Rambam always considered an angel superior to man. But the Bala Kabbalah disagreed with him violently, and he said, man is superior to an angel. Man has something divine in him, and he is capable of coming very close to the Bera Elam, to the Almighty. He's a great being, there's no doubt. In our history, Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, was certainly superior to the angels. On the other hand, Yahadus also knew very well that man is a very low being, worthless. Not only is he weak and helpless, but he can be corrupt, cruel, and indifferent, and defile himself, and defile the world. We have to give you examples now after Czechoslovakia and Brezhnev and Kosygin visit. I mean, and after their performance, I said, the United Nations, Yehadut had simply an antithetic view of man. It believed that man is great, exalted. It also knew very well, and Yehadut was very realistic, that man is a low creature. It can be very, very cruel, very beastly. It can be inferior to an insect. And Chazal said beautifully, Zohar is man worthy. Imrimai, he is told, but not by whom, but someone tells him, Ato kidam tole malach ha-shores, you were created before the angel. You are superior to him. Leizohu, has he fallen? So Imrimai, someone tells him, Yatush katongo, the mosquito which circles around like warm summer evening is by far superior to you. That's what Chazal. Now the question, Tefillah. The institution of Tefillah, that man approaches God and pleads with him, offers his supplication, and prays, and converses with him, and engages him in a dialogue, and so forth. What is it? Is it the result of the optimistic philosophy of man, or of the pessimistic, negative philosophy of man? Is it the result of affirmation of man, as a great being, affirmation? Or on the contrary, it's a result of negation of man. It's basically tefillah kol hashana, the whole year round. It's tefillah based upon the awareness of man as a great being. I'll show you how. For instance, it's very strange. We don't know, there are already the, what's his name, the Rabbi Yehuda Levi in Kuzari speaks about it. But he did not resolve the problem, he did not explain somehow, and many rishonim speak about it, but there is no satisfactory answer in all their discourses about it. We find in Tanakh that praying was practiced while the person, the worshipper, was kneeling or in a position of full prostration. Vayokom ha-melech klein al-birko. Ve-snapal ifne Hashem. What is this? Snapal. Snapal. I threw myself. It means I prostrated myself. It's interesting. The Chazal introduced prayer. Hashem Nefer, this is prayer. So what did Chazal request man to do? To prostrate himself or Chas v'Shalom? If he'll prostrate himself, he'll spoil the prayer. He'll invalidate the prayer. Prayer requires hamideh. Straight. Upright position, to stand straight in upright position. And there are ishtachvois, but ishtachvois is just the bow. To curtsy, that's all. But nothing else. And Chazal required of men that he should be dressed, in his best clothes for prayer. Hoche hikin Yisroel ifnei adeh l'chaz l'kechor. Be prepared for prayer. You see, prayer is an audience. The way Chazal interpret prayer, portray prayer, as if prayer were an audience between the king and the prime minister, or someone between the king and someone very prominent and known. It means prayer is ponim al ponim. Man is confronted with God and speaks them, addresses himself to God. It means greatness of man. Ato yivdalto enesh merei shlami lefaleh. You have singled out man, and you have given him the license, actually, to stand before the army. Not everybody can approach the king, not everybody can address himself to the king, using the Tao. We use the Tao when we address ourselves to God. Baruch Atu Ad Hashem. With a certain familiarity, actually. Our Hashem Nesros is a conversation, a dialogue, between two people who are very familiar with it, who are close to each other, almost related to me. There is familiarity, intimacy in prayer. These are the prayers, the regular prayers we offer, particularly Shem Nesra. Particularly Shem Nesra. Sim Sholim, Pibu Vrochor, Sim, almost, not only a petition, you almost, a command. That's what God wants. Very strange. These are the prayers. There are prayers which actually are nurtured by a complete different philosophy of man. A philosophy of nihility of man, of worthlessness of man, of his weakness, of his loneliness, of his helplessness, and of his capability of being corrupt, becoming corrupt and defiled, of sinking to the level of the beast revealed. Those are the prayers of Slichas. If you read the Slichas tonight carefully, you'll see the Piyutim. His old Piyutim emphasized just one idea, one thought. All Psukim of it. How can men approach God? How can I address himself? Men, defiled, corrupt, contaminated. Contaminated. Today, the Rambam says, Ayim Kanu Mocha Bekever. Today, tonight, he's here. Next morning, he's in the grave, I mean. Man who is ignorant, and in spite of all his progressive ideas, in spite of all his discoveries, technological achievements, still ignorant, and still a prisoner of nature. It's very hard to liberate oneself from nature and so forth. I mean, this is the idea which dominates his life. Greatness of man is the lodestar of Tfilei Kol HaShana, and all year-round prayers. Smallness, weakness, helplessness of man is the guiding motif of Sliches, and also you have Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a different story, also like that. There are many. Rosh Hashanah in Kippur does a mixture of motifs. But if you'll take certain piyuti in Yom Kippur, or Rosh Hashanah, after on Sunday take it, what do you say? Marshal who? What can it be compared to? Kecheres HaNishbor, like a broken fragment of a clay utensil. What else? What I mean, Chazanim should remember that. Kitzitz Yovesh, like the withered flower in the field. Konam Kole, like the cloud which passes by. Kei Papareach, like a bird which flies, I mean, and gets lost in flying, and so forth on. This is basically the main, the central motif of Slichas. Slichas particularly. And this emphasis placed upon nihility of man, worthlessness, was combined, associated with rival. Because man at night is not as proud, is not as vain, and is not so sure of himself as he is at the daytime, then somehow he displays it. But he believes that he displays his power, his wisdom, and so forth. You have in Eichot, Boche Sifke Balayla. When one is in distress, it is time for crying at night, not in daytime. Why it's psychologically correct? Because any sorrow, I mean, is magnified at time. The experience is more keen, sharper, and more painful. I mean, I know it from my own experience. In the daytime, you are, somehow, I mean, you are involved, I mean, in various activities, I mean, you have no time, I mean, to do some soul-searching, to delve in your own self. I mean, you just forget. It's forgetfulness. On the contrary, your mind is always somehow concerned with the positive aspect of man, not with the negative one. At night, Boche Sifke Balayla, with the Rosh Alechta. This is Kumerini Balayla. That's why Slichas. That's why night, the prayers at night have been abbreviated. Even the Shemnesser at night is considered Rishus, not Chevo, because night is the time, is symbolic of men, so to say, losing self-respect, and men suddenly realizing, discovering that he is a lonely creature, helpless, weaker than the animals, there's no doubt about it, physiologically certainly weaker than animals. And all his wisdom, all his discoveries and achievements, and technological attainment, helped him very little at times. He's so helpless that only God can save him. This is the period during which, I mean, such thoughts, I mean, come up, and man delves in himself, and engages in soul searching, in self-examination, and comes, I mean, and finds himself bankrupt, simply because he failed. Failure is might. That's why it's just a tumor in the The regular tefillah, the contrary, does not want to see men as a failure. Men as a success. Triumphant men. The triumphant man is during the daytime. And he has an opportunity to show what he knows, what he can accomplish. This is number one. Slichas means tefillah balayla, which in terms of regular prayer constitutes two ideas which are mutually exclusive. Now there is something else. I ask for the Gemara Brachas. Gemara Brachas in Tefillas HaShachas. Very strange. Tefillas HaShachas? No, it's in the name of you. Excuse me. Lamed Dalet. Yochel yispalel odom kolayim kulay. Perhaps the man is allowed to pray as many times as he wants, to offer as many prayers as he wants during the day. Kvar mifuresh al dei Daniel, it has been established already, explicitly stated by Daniel, vizimnin klose, only thrice a day is a man allowed to do. Very interesting. The Torah requires of man to offer his prayers three times a day, but not more. He has no right. Basically, you know very well that according to the Halacha, we never, so to say, all prayers are integrated into Shem Nesrei. Outside of Shem Nesrei, we don't pray at all. No prayer is offered. No prayer is offered, for instance, among the non-Jews. To offer a prayer is very simple. You can offer a prayer at any time you want. But according to Yehadus, prayer is offered only within the framework of Shem Nesrei. Outside of Shem Nesrei, I have no right to pray. For instance, if Achman Islan, one is in distress, someone is sick in his family, and he says, I mean, to pray. How do we pray for a sick person? Either by offering a prayer in Refueinu or in Shmakaleinu, you know very well, or you say to some. But there is no prayer, I mean, specific prayer to be offered, recited for a sick person. You say Tilim, I mean, you choose the psalms which are appropriate and which simply, I mean, include the references to sickness and to God, healing power and so forth around that. So, or you say the psalm Makim Klasicha Deshem, Shil Bekele, or Esayin El Ori, Mayin Yove Ezri, or Lamitecha, or Yan HaShem B'Yim Tzori, Sagef Chol Shem Eleke Yakiv, or Mizma Shechanukat Habayis, or Shil Yedeko, and so forth, I mean. For Yisani Miyir Deveir, the psalms, I mean, the theme of which, I mean, is sickness and health and God's healing power and God being the healer, the universal healer, but never a separate prayer. Either Tilim, recitation of Tilim, or prayer within the framework of Shem Nesrei. Because we have no right to offer any prayer or to organize any service, any prayerful service, outside of the frame of reference of Shem Nesrei. And Shem Nesrei can only be recited how many times? Thrice a day. Yochel is, it's interesting that Shmuel said, Mispal Adam Tfilas Nedova. Shmuel disagreed. If a man wants, he can offer a Shem Nesrei, I mean additional Shem Nesrei, voluntarily. However, the Rishonim accepted Shmuel's view, but he said, Vonu Einig in Khan, we need them. We have never heard of anybody praying four times a day. I mean, thank God that he prays three times a day. It's always fun. You see, because to us prayer, as I said so many times, prayer to others is not something very simple. It's enigmatic. What do you mean man approaches God? What do you mean he knocks on God's door? And then who is he, a lowly creature to appear before the universal king, I mean, and recite, I mean, his needs, I mean, which are petty and insignificant and worthless. What's this special privilege, I mean, granted to man? to be able to pray, and this privilege was limited, only three times a day. Slicha Tanatones, the Vida said, how? In olden times, they used to say it, as I said before, within the framework of Shem Esrei, within the frame of reference of the Baruch HaTeslach Lo Navin Nekechotonu. Later, they transferred it to the end of Shem Esrei. But also, it follows Shem Esrei right away. The very moment the Chazon concludes on Baruch HaTeslach Lo Navin Nekechotonu, you start Slicha. So it's a part, it's integrated into Tefillah Shachris. But never a separate service. Slicha has never been organized a separate service on Taniyas, on Thursdays. With one exception. Which exception? Slicha of Yom Yeruah. A special assembly, not for Shem Nesra. A special convocation, Mamad convocation. A special convocation, not for Minche or Ma'ariv or Shachris, but for Slicha Safiyam. Usually there are Halacha approved only a three convocations. For Shachris, for Mincha, for Ma'ariv. If you are in need, one is in distress, and feels like praying, he can do it. But within the frame of reference of Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv. No special convocation. No special ma'amor. Beginning of, and as far as Lichas Yom Neroim is concerned, so you have a right to call a special maimed, a special convocation. That is a convocation. What we'll do later here is a convocation. It's a special assembly, a prayer assembly. Not for Ma'ariv, because it's not Ma'ariv, but for Slichas. This is then another exception to the general rule of Tefillah. Usually we have only three convocations, and in Kippur we have four convocations. Four convocations, and basically Nile Islichas. It's also Slichas. Nile basically. And during the days on which Slichas is recited, we have also a separate convocation at night, not a day convocation, at night for Slichas. Beginning called it Mamot, the convocation of Ritzui, of reconciliation between men and God, and Slichot, and forgiveness. This is the second principle on which Slichas is. The license was granted to us to call a special convocation, a service convocation, which has been forbidden, strictly forbidden, during the whole year. Now there is something else. Now, and a matter of fact, in Slichas is a Shem Nesra convocation. I told you many times. The Lerush already knew that. It's a Slichas convocation. You start with Ashrei, like a Mincha service. You say Kaddish. Then you recite the Slichas, and at the conclusion of the Slichas, you say Kaddish Tiskabel. It's the only time that you say Kaddish Tiskabel, not after Hashem Nesrei, but after, I mean, the recital of Psalms. Because it is a service convocation, it's a prayer convocation, a mamot shavit, which we are not allowed to practice on any other day. No. Even in Atones, we used to decree in Eretz Yisrael during the Beis Hamikdash, so the convocation was for Mincha. Of course, they recited Slichas within the frame of reference. But there was no special convocation. The only convocation we have where the regular Shem Nesra is not recited is Slichas. This is the second exception. And then there is something else. And then there is something else. Tefillah is a mitzvah, of course. According to the Rambam, it's midraise. Rabbalken Hashem alekeichem is aveda shebalev zu tefillah. According to many Rishonim, it's midrabbanan, but it's a mitzvah tefillah. It's a duty, it's an obligation to pray twice, three times a day. Aveda shebalev. There is a special commandment, a special precept of Tefillah, which is a part of Tshuva. Tshuva consists basically of three elements. First of all, Charot Alova, Kabbalah Labo,
is a tshuva,
and then to pray for forgiveness, to ask for forgiveness, to plead with God for forgiveness, is a part of tshuva. Mitzvah tefillah is an integral part of tshuva. The best proof is that Vidur King God will be in Yom Kippurim. Of how many parts does a Vidur King God will be in Yom Kippurim consist? First of all, of HaKoras Achet. Chot Ohav U'Poshel Mufanecho Hamcho Yisroel. Correct? This is HaKoras Achet. HaKoras Achet means the combination of Harot Alav and Kabbalah Alav. This is HaKoras Achet. And then, Ono Vashem Kapano Lachatoyim Lavenes Alav Shoket. Tefillah complete the act of tshuva. It's not enough that amends his deeds, his ways, and regret and past mistakes and errors, takes on a commitment, to change his way of life. Not enough. Even though it's not difficult, but it's not enough. A man should pray, please, with God for forgiveness, for absolution, for atonement. We know that from, I don't have to prove it. If you will take, for instance, the Vidui, the famous Vidui by David, you recite the Vidui. What kind of Vidui by David? Tahareini Be'ezek, what parrot is it in Tehillim? Who knows Tehillim? Ah? I beg your pardon? Mr. Bramson, what is Tahareini Ke'ezek? The veil of Nosan Anori. Ah? No knowledge. See, the whole prayer, the whole psalm is prayer for forgiveness, for cleansing. Because I want you to understand, to forgive a sin, when one commits a sin, it's not just he committed an error or simply violated a rule. He actually, defiled his personality. He lost inspiration. Somehow he removed himself from the presence of God. And all these gifts which he lost must be restored. This can only be restored through prayer. So tefillah is a separate aspect of tshuva. Without tshuva, tefillah, there is no tshuva. For instance, the first assembly of tshuva took place after the episode of the eagle, the golden calf. What did the tshuva consist of? By how nations pnei Hashem lekov? Where snapal lifnei Hashem? The gabad arli spalovi. Prayer. What is Yom Kippur? Is a day of prayer. So during the period of sliches and yemei tshuva, so one is under obligation to pray because of two reasons. First of all, you should pray like, because it's a vidush b'leiv. It is the ordinary duty of prayer. It's binding. Yom Kippur is no exception. Secondly, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and the Tzav Mitzvah, beginning tonight, there's another duty. Man is incumbent upon him to pray because prayer is a part of tshuva, of repentance, of coming back, or at least of trying, of attempting to come back to the burial. And this is sliches. In sliches, we fulfill another precept of prayer. Not the ordinary precept, but the unique precept of prayer, which is a part, an integral part, an aspect of tshuva. This is the Seder HaFeis. There are three principles. First principle is tefillah and lilo. Second principle is that there is a special convocation, amamod ritzu tefillah. And secondly, and third principle is, there is a unique precept of prayer which is related to tshuva. Without prayer, there is no tshuva. And basically, what is Yom Kippur, what is Rosh Hashanah? Hayim Tzila. A day of prayer. Whoever doesn't know how to pray cannot realize the significance of the day. The essence of the day expresses itself through prayer. Even the Shefa is an instrument of prayer. I told you so many times. Kata Shemeya Kil Shefa Mazen Truah. It's an instrument of prayer, the Shefa. Shefa is not just a mitzvah to listen to the sound of Shefa. It's a prayer. And Yom Kippur certainly a day of prayer. V'chal meishas mei Hashem lekov. Kivrachu lechanech, hapayim ches remes. This is a particular prayer of Yom Noroim. which does not belong into the system of Avodah Shebelayot, but into that of Tshuva. Snapple. These three principles form the foundation of Shlichus. Tefillah night and lilo, Mamed Ritzu Yutchine, and Tefillah Kechelek Na Tshuva, as an integral part of prayer. The Rambam says in the Tshuva, so take a look. פרק בייז מחשובה הלוך הדלת מדרכי התשובה דלת מדרכי התשובה we say בדרך תשובה הריסה God is so to measure the way of תשובה מדרכי התשובה ליס השוב the one who repented say תמיד לפני הרשם should plead with God steadily ask for mercy and help and salvation. Then there is, I mean, this is now, it has no, it's not directly related to Shlichus, but since I'm dealing with this topic, I want to say something else. Something else is important for Tshuva, very important. Very important. It's like Tefillah. It's another aspect of Tshuva. And this is Tzedakah. Rav Sadia Gohen said that a Baal Tshuva must change his habits as far as giving charity or helping others is concerned. Tzedakah is actually a way in which Tshuva is implemented. Without Tzedakah, Tshuva is incomplete, is imperfect. When you say Utshuva, Utspilo, Utsdoko, Mavirim, Reak, there it's not just a nice phrase with someone, I mean, thought up, I mean, and just introduced the mother. Saloche, Utshuva, what does Tshuva mean here? Akorasachet, the plea of guilty. Basically, Tshuva is to plead guilty, the plea of being guilty, being responsible. I mean, the ability to assume responsibility. I mean, you know very well, I mean, Adam's sin. All right, Adam's sin consisted of murder, just he ate the fruit, forbidden fruit. It means what the most, I mean, what did he commit? What kind of sin of Avera did he commit? Treifes from Velas. The apple was treif. It was not edible, according to the command to the great finding. So God punished him. Actually, he did not destroy animals, drove him out of the Gan Eden. Immediately. He lost the Gan Eden, lost the paradise, and lost everything. He became mortal, I mean, exposed to the vicissitudes of life, the indifference and cruelty of nature and so forth. Cain murdered his brother. Cain murdered his brother. What a horrible thing. And Cain somehow reached the modest vivendi of everything. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Almighty. And the Gemara said, the Medrash tells us, that Cain came out and he found the Buddha's God, he met Adam, and Adam took a look at Cain, he recognized that Cain reached the sacrament. Somehow a modus operandi. A reconciliation with God. He said, Manasseh Bitino. God actually applied strict justice to me and to your mother for just eating the forbidden apple. He certainly should have applied strict justice without any consideration. Because there were no extenuating circumstances for your crime. But suddenly I see that you came out here satisfied with the situation. I repent. What was wrong with Adam? You know what was wrong with Adam? He blamed somebody else. I ate under your Ashgoreth. That's all the Mashgiach. Otherwise, I mean, you could have left me alone. I mean, there was no need for me. He was created to supervise me. So I feel supervised. I mean, it's not that I'm not now inclined to engage in anything else. He thinks, well, Yisha Shana Sattva Nimrod, he lost no way out. He lost his paradise. He showed, he proved that he is incapable of assuming responsibility to the supervisor. This is true. Tshuva means a korasach. I'm guilty. That's all. I'm guilty. It's clear. This is a tshuva. But this plea of guilty must be accompanied by what? By tshuva. The Rambam says, the eset doko fitikeche. Our children should engage in charity as much as possible. Basically, in Chumash, it's very strange. I mean, the Rav Sadiq, he was the first, it's interesting. The Gemara said, Gemara Rosh Hashanah, yes. But you'll take Rosh Hashanah at the Zayin and the Beis. Vomar Rav Yitzchok, Yerit Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, Dala Dvori, Dafta Zayin Amit Bey, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. About 15 lines from the top. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, Dala Dvori Mikarim Gzar Dine Shalaba. Four things change, actually, get the Ekmer. Eila in Tzoko, Tzoko, what is Tzoko? Tzile, Shinui Hashem v'Shinui Ma'ase. Shinui Hashem v'Shinui Ma'ase. Shinui Ma'ase means a koras achet. And Shinui Hashem means I don't identify myself with this fear. I look upon myself as a new person. But it's a part of tshuva. It's an aspect of tshuva. Complete change of the identity. Complete change of the personality. Tzoko minayim is then a shechsiv tzoko tatum loves. Tzoko 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 Hashem v'talem is the same thing. But I believe there is another source, I mean, which we may quote, in order to substantiate actually and to prove that stock is a part of tshuva. It's very strange that after the eagle, God commanded the Jews immediately, to give of their money, everything they had, to the mission. If God needed the mission, he did. In Hashemayim, Shmei Hashemayim, Lo Yechal Kolucho. The universe cannot contain a habayis of the Hashemayim. Certainly, not the little house, I think, for it. For the prophecy world, to be Jews, to train the Jews, to be the Jews. Because it's a part of Jews. Tshuva, I mean, for Chet Reidem, it's a part of Jews. We want to stop it for the mission. We couldn't give stock it to poor people because there were no poor. There were neither millionaires, nor No beggars of proper in the Midwest society. In Los Holivosa, Lechem Lechalten, we have Yai Lesheikh Lechizifer. There was a classless society. There was a classless society, not in Russia, but in the Midwest. Real classless society. No one could have saved anything, could save anything. Even the man couldn't be saved from that place or not. There were no savings accounts, no banks, no deposits. You just, everybody had what God gave him. So, what in the Torah demanded from the Jews to do, where did he have? I mean, for instance, Zor, Kesef, Lashoni, Silk, and this, Velvet, I mean, because in the tribe. No, of course, they had a little bit. How much did they have? So the Torah wanted them to do away everything they have. So this is the part, this is the extra part. In the art, actually, the best extra. Because basically, tshuva meaning chet, meaning when a person comes, begins to idealize himself. Chet is a result of selfishness, of complete lack of consideration, and consideration for others. Then a person sees only himself, no one else. And then he surrounds himself, I mean, tries to surround himself with a halo, with glory. This is chet. That means a little temptation to which I am exposed. actually overrules sacred principles, I mean, and I abandon, I mean, tradition, because of a little pleasure I expect to get out from performance. This is basically Stockholm, actually, sympathy, compassion, and sharing with others, sharing the need with others. This is basically Stockholm. That's why Swiss has been keeping up. Hello, I'll be doing some Stockholm. There is not truly love in Stockholm. Stockholm is ransom. Basically, it's a man's sin. So he's a captive, he's a prisoner. In order to get out of prison, in order to redeem himself, he has to pay ransom. Pay for nefesh. What kind of ransom do we should pay ransom? He's kidnapped by someone. By whom? I don't know. By the faith. By whom? He pays ransom. Otherwise, he cannot free himself from captivity. What is the ransom? Pay for nefesh. Basically, dog is pay for nefesh. Machti fa shekel. How does it, what does it there call machti fa shekel? You must not pay for nefesh, Lord Hashem. It's ransom, it's redemption, redeeming. So, this is doctrine. Alright, now, that these are the four principles, the three principles of Slichas. Tshuva, the equation of Tshuva and Tfila, the equation of Tfila and Lilo, and the special convocation, Mamot Shoritzu. Now, the construction of Sliches, I spoke many times about it. Construction of Sliches underwent a change, a basic change. And this change is wrong, actually. However, apparently, Jews like it this way. After all, it's history and it's a fact. The Sliches of old was compiled and consisted of four elements, of four parts. It's a fourfold construction, the basic structure of Sliches. First of all, the central axis around which the entire, all the prayers, Sliches prayers, revolve is what? The Yud Gimel Milos. Adeshem, Adeshem, Kirachu Rechanan. Bishor Shi Yisroel Chetim, Yasu Lefonai Kaseder Hazeh. They should imitate or repeat this particular ritual. What kind of ritual is it? Adeshem, Adeshem, Kirachu Rechanan. But Sliches basically consists of four parts. It's a fourfold structure, Sliches. First of all, Sliches consists of a compilation of psukim, mostly from Tehillim, 99% from Tehillim. Sometimes you come across a pasuk from Isaiah or Jeremiah, but usually it's from the Psalms. Compilation of psukim. What is the general idea which did those psukim convey? Actually, what do they convey to us? What they convey to us, the idea, first of all, helplessness of man, the wretched being. Or, and secondly, that God is merciful, and that man must be God forgives the sins of man, he raises his iniquity, and so forth, and bestows chesed v'rachmi. It's also described, portrays God's majesty, omnipotence in nature and the universe, how God rules the universe. From the flying nebulae down to the little insect which creeps on there, or the little worm which creeps on the ground. This is basically what's compilation of psukim. I'll tell you frankly, the psukim are so skillfully compiled that you don't feel it is a compilation, but you think it's one psalm. If you'll take one sliche, and you're going to have a text of slichas. Yes, thank you very much. The famous introduction to Sliches, which repeats itself every time we say Sliches, even Yom Kippur night in Kol Nidre, not Ashrei, Ashrei night. Shemei Atfilo Adecho Kol Basar Yomeo. V'chol Hashem Avdokol on the Beishas Aponim, this is from Ezra, it's a gaze. We have no right to approach God. And Nachpes and Nachkeiro, then Livechesel Masim Bonachmecha, Gedalim Choroshim, the fact was that we bang on your door, we knock on your door like a pauper and a beggar. I told you, man is a lowly creature. Livechesel is not man, is a great being, approaches God, but man is a little small being. And then Shemei Atfilo Adecha Kol Bosor Yireyu, if you just look through the whole compilation, it's compiled from various psalms and from Yirmiyahu, and it reads like one whole, like a separate psalm, like it is so organically, it's so the unity is almost organic, and you feel transition from one pasuk to another, as if this introduction had been written by David as a separate psalm. It's very strange. Yeah. Then we have more pesukim. Kach lo abam kach hashem alkeinu la hashem shalom vechasalo ad hashem shmur ad hashem slocho lemancha la ikishim chanikro alicho v'lamecho. As a matter of fact, we may again in that long compilation of pesukim. The only long compilation which we have retained, which actually still extant, is the introduction Shemei Atfilo Adecha Kol Bosor Yireyu, this compilation, it's a long compilation. And the last, with which we conclude, Zecher Brisa V'Kasher Amarto, V'Zechar T'Bris Yaakov, Imotzi Lo Me'asim Onek Meshetat Tonu V'Gam Ziz V'Yismer T'Vei V'Mas V'Gaholti M'Chalei Som. We have only two compilations, actually, which survive so many centuries. These compilations are the oldest ones we have. The introductory compilation and epilogue, the concluded compilation. Tzchei Sovis. These two compilations are said on Yom Kippur as well. As a matter of fact, Tzchei Sovis, we say on Yom Kippur in every Shenesrei. Every Shenesrei. Shachris, Musav, Mircheni, the exception of Nira. Yeah, Mircheni. Nira is a separate system. But the introductory compilation, Shemei Atpilo Adecha Kol Bosor Yireyu, we say only Yom Kippur night. Kol Nidrei. Kol Nidrei. In the morning you don't say. You don't say in the morning Shemei Atpilo Adecha Kol Bosor Yireyu. It's neither recited during Shachis, nor during Musaf, nor during Mirchen. However, Eschev Rishonach Shamarto is recited every time we come up, every time we say Vidu. This is the second, actually. We had long compilations before the Piyutim were introduced into Slichas. So Slichas consisted of compilations of Psukim. We had very long ones. They are gone, we don't know. Perhaps we might find some manuscripts, I don't know. Remnants, ignises, but we don't know. We have just remainders, just fragments. Altoi mishpidimoni tov nechol choy tov nechot filaseinu tov mitchinaseinu tov nechot en kasosio teiru zreacho isa bnei smuso ad shem shimu bekelet yenu zech kashu isla teiru tachinu noi. Interesting is that the Balei Aslichas somehow did something which halachically is questionable halachically. And many poskim have criticized and disapproved of it. They took psukim and they changed the singular into the plural. It's very strange. For instance, take here. Al tovi v'mishpoti monim kil yitzat v'fanecha kol choy. Tovi v'fanecha tfiloseinu al tzal mitchinoseinu. The posk is tovi v'fanecha tfilosei v'al tzal mitchinosei. Adeshem Shimo Bekelet, Yenes Dach Kashuv is Lotil Tachnuno. In Slichas Yerid, Adeshem Shimo Bekeleinu, Tiyenes Dach Kashuv is Lotil Tachnuno. In Shmakeleinu, yeah. Altashlachainu Fanecho, Kotchach Al Tikach Bemenu. The Posuk is in singular. Altashlachainu Mil Fanecho, Veruach Kotchach Al Tikach Bemenu. Altashlachainu Leizikno, Kichleiskechai Altazrenu, is the Posuk. We say Altashlachainu Leizikno, Kichleiskechainu Altazrenu. Is it permitted? Is it permissible, to take a pasuk and to change, the singular into plural? Many, many have simply rejected, such changes. They said it is not permissible. Matter of fact, as much as I can help, I always say, whenever I know, sometimes I forget, but whenever I'm aware of, I'll always change the plural into singular, wherever the pasuk, the is being formulated in the singular. As a matter of fact, the Tashbet says it is permissible. There is only one proof which is quite conclusive and convincing. He says that even Chazal, the Chachmei Talmud, have practiced this method of changing the singular into the plural. And the famous example is Refa'inu ad Hashem v'nerofei, Eshe'inu v'nevoshea, v'nevoshea tisilaseinu oto. It's a possible Yirmiyah. Refa'inu ad Hashem v'nerofei, Eshe'inu v'nevoshea tisilaseinu oto. And since the Anshek Nesak Dele have changed from the plural into from the singular to the plural, apparently it is permissible. What's quite it is used, so to say, the license of the poetry. Now this is number one, the compilation of psukim. It's too bad that in most of the compilations we have lost, are not extant. We have only, as I told you, two compilations. Now it's very interesting. And yet, let us take up Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur night, which is the night par excellence of Slichas. Yom Kippur is the day par excellence of Slichas. Okay, this is the day of Tshuva. So, you say, in Kippur night, you say, Shemei Atfilo Adecho Kobosar Yaveil, correct? Shemei Atfilo Adecho Kobosar Yaveil. At the end, you say, Tzchev Rishovis Kasher Amart. In Shachris, you don't say, Shemei Atfilo Adecho Kobosar Yaveil, the long introduction to Slichas. But you conclude with Tzchev Rishovis Kasher Amart. Tzchev Rishovis Amart leads up to Shema Kaleinu. Today, we are in the Kotcheker, and 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 then the Chazan begins to recite Shema Kaleinu. Why is it that in Kippur night, I want to show you that there is nothing accidental in no coincidence, I say, in our Siddur, that in Kippur night, we do recite Shemei Atfilo Adecho Kobosar Yaveil, and in Shachris, and Musaf, and Enile, we left out Shemei Atfilo Adecho Kobosar Yaveil. However, what we do recite is Tzchev Rishovis. Correct. Basically, it's like that. As I told you, Slichas is like Shemei Nesre. It's a convocation, a prayer convocation. In Shemei Nesre, you have no right to petition God or to offer any, or to plead with Him before you recite Shvuach HaShalmokim, before you praise Him. Before you recite Shvuach HaShalmokim. Shvuach HaShalmokim consists in Gvureis and Gedushas Hashem, in Ovis. Of course, you cannot start saying Slichas unless you recite Shvuach HaShalmokim. You sing a hymn to God, his hymnal praise. Of course, since Slichas consists just of petition, of supplication, of pleading with God, so before we start to plead with Him, or to ask Him, or to request of Him, Slicha M'chile, we have to recite a hymn to Him, Shvuach HaShalmokim. How do we know that? From Moshe Rabbeinu. V'eschanu Hashem bo Yisa hi leimer. So he didn't start. Ad Hashem malikim ato achelei solar es esavdocho es godlocho v'siotcho chazoko. Ebro no ver. He didn't start this petition immediately. He began with what he prays, with a hymn. So this is actually the introduction to Slichas as a petition. This is necessary in Kippur night, because the Slichas are recited not within the frame of reference of Shemei Nesre, because there is no Chazor Hashat. But in the morning you recite the Slichas, and where do you recite the Slichas? Within Shemei Nesre. When do you say Slichas in Kippur? In the morning, Musaf and Mirche. In what bracha? In the fourth bracha? In the bracha within which the chazan says vidui. So it's a part of the Shemei Nesre. So it does not require another hymn. In order, that the license be granted to him, to approach God with petition and supplication, because he recited Ovis. You see, the Ovis is the introduction to Slichas. While you keep an eye, the night of Kolidah, there's no chazor hashav. So Slichas is a separate entity, a separate unit, the way it is tonight, or on any other day. So if it's a separate entity, it's a separate convocation, you see. You see, Shachis, Minche, and Yom Kippur, Slichas, does not require a separate convocation. It is recited within the frame of preference of Shem Nesre. However, Saturday night, Yom Kippur night, or the night of, as we'll do it tonight, so it's a special convocation. So Slichas is a separate unit. It lacks the framework of Shem Nesre. Because Ma'ariv we have recited already. We have said Ma'ariv, it was Ma'ariv. So as a separate service, so we must recite first the hymn of Shemeya Tfilo Dechakov Vosrivein. And basically, what we say in the hymn is exactly, almost identical with that we say in Noviz Gvuris and Gvushas Hashem. For instance, Ato Ferato Voschoyom Shibarto Rosh Saninim Alamoim Ato Itzavto Kol Gvulis Oretz קיץ וחרב אתו יצרתם, אתו רצצת ראש אליביוסון, תננו מחו לעם לציים, אתו בקעתו מים ונוחל, אתו הבשת נארץ איסון, וכל יאים אף לכל לילה, אתו חיני סמויה ושמש. What is it? A recital? What? Of גבורי של הקדוש ברוך הוא, omnipotence, his majesty in nature. And then you say, the קם מופון of בסדו, בזמירס נורי עלי, אשר יעד אבנם תקסוד בביס הלקים נעלה ברוגש קהיל נערות בסוד קדשים רבו צדוש השם עת הקודש ישים חוק קדש וישים חיים עלו חסלו ונעירו על כל סביבו שו ידיכם קדש ובוח עשר השם יב יביו קדוש השם קדושה לידן סי קדושה בקוז השם נסר רכבז קדושה This is the reason why it's left out, it's omitted during the day because we have the frame of reference and it is said at night. Now we have two parts. We have the compilations of Psukim and the Yud Gimel Mides. Then, of course, Vidui. Vidui, Slichas Rekmas. Without Vidui, there are no Slichas. When you say Vidui, it's Slichas. As a matter of fact, we repeat the Vidui three times. Even though the Goyen objected to it, but we do say the Vidui three times. And at last, there are short prayers that are told you very old, ancient. They are older perhaps than many of our prayers, which you recite at the conclusion of the verse. This Anenu Abishem Anenu, Mishon Ol Avram Avinu Bahar Amiriyo Hu Yanenu. They go back, they can be traced back to the second Kalvot, this Amidosh. I told you. Unkil Rachum Shmecho, Kil Chanun Shmecho, Bechon Nikro Shmecho, Asele Manamitoch, apparently it's quite possible, as Asela Manamitoch used to be recited in Bisamidosh when they marched with the Lulavim around the Mizbeach, around the altar. Because as a matter of fact, we do recite Lamanamitoch Lamandosoch when we march with the Lulavim around the Sefer Torah. And then Rachmone Done Laniye Aneino, Rachmone Done Litzvire Libi Aneino. I want you to know, the Aramaic form of that prayer bears testimony, bears witness to the fact that it's very old. Usually Aramaic prayers, with the exception of those which are mentioned in Zeya, like Drush Medem or Oma. But usually an Aramaic document, like the Ksube or the Get, the fact that it's written in Aramaic, not in Hebrew, means that the document is very old, ancient in character. Because the vernacular of the people during the second Bayesheni, come well, the vernacular was Aramaic, not Hebrew. We don't know how much Hebrew was spoken during the Sefer Kamo. Never mind that some linguists, historians, not sure, want to say they all spoke Hebrew. It's not true. Because if they had spoken Hebrew, the Talmud Yerushalmi wouldn't have been, written in Arabic. The Mishnah was written in Hebrew. Apparently the intellectual elite spoke Hebrew. The masses, the crowd, spoke Arabic. And documents which had to be understood by the crowd, because they had to know what obligation they assumed and what duties they discharged, so were written Aramaic. Even all Kiyum Shtoros, the application of Shtoros documents, the Mesa of Klosek, Chode Avine, Vasa, Mekamon, this is all, it's all that the Bayesheni is. In effect, Rachmon, Dolam, Yanir, Aneno, and so forth, Moche, Umase, Mei, Misumchaye, Masuk, Mishir, Mechai, Omo, Brokot, Chote, Avu, Elake, Severo. Those are the four parts of the list. It is compilation of Psukim, you begin and you conclude with that. And then Yudgimu Mireis, 2, Vidui, 3, and the so-called, they call it in, of course, technical time, the litany-like prayers, which are very short. Short and simple, I mean. Short and simple and plain, I mean, comprehensible, I mean, to everybody and understood by everybody, by simpleton and philosopher alike, you understand? Those are the four parts. This is the old shlichus. Jews had the weak spot for poetry, and the soft spot for poetry. The piyutim. It is something which we don't understand. How the piyutim got in into our mother, who integrated and incorporated the piyutim into Chazoras Hashabs. We don't know. The history is not known. We know just, for instance, that Ablezer HaKalia most probably lived in the 5th or 6th century. It's very old. It means immediately after the Chesimus HaTalmud, after the conclusion and of the Talmud. But we already wrote Piyutim. Is Piyutim were integrated into the Maaser, and Tesis speaks of Piyutim? I mean, they conveyed the impression to us as if Piyutim were introduced, I mean, thousands of years ago. Tesis quotes Piyutim in order to prove Aloches. And Piyutim to Tesis carry so much authority that many Aloches, Tesis resolves by a quotation from Kamir. Anyway, the Jews, I mean, liked Piyutim. And Piyutim became a part of our liturgy, part and part of our liturgy. I cannot imagine, for instance, I examined the Sephardic Maaser, and I've been asking myself, what do they do the whole day of Yom Kippur? The real Sephardic Maaser, because they have no Piyutim. Terrible, terrible. And it was beautiful Piyutim, like Oiches v'Piyad Midas Mishpot, Chalamin v'Shotin Amuno, V'Kele Rati, Sanetekev, Melachelgen, Imru Melekim. You don't have. They have a few from Rabbi Judah Levi, a few from the Nezre, here and there they repeat from the Rambam, but doesn't come up, I mean, cannot compare as far as beauty and power and sensitivity with our beauty. The most beautiful marvel is the Ashkenazic marvel. The most beautiful marvel. Of course, they have Mochis and Shevers, no doubt, but they don't have the beauty. Completely devoid of Piyutim. Very little. A few. And the Piyutim became part and parcel of our liturgy, I mean. We cannot imagine Rosh Hashanah and Kippur without Piyutim. What would you do, I mean, without the Piyutim? How long would it take Chazoras Hashatz, I mean, of Musaf or Shachis without the Piyutim? Without Imur Lekim, without Melech Elgin, who without Aderes Amun Elech HaYolomim, without, I mean, all those beautiful, gorgeous, exalted, where the Kedushayim is reflected, actually. It reflects the Kedushayim. It reflects the experience, I mean, the individual experience of the day, I mean, the exalted character of the day. And, I mean, whoever knows Piyutim, they've in their texture are hundreds of Midroshim and hundreds of Aloches interwoven. Those Piyutim. Of course, also in Sliches, they introduce Piyutim. To say all the long compilations, in addition to say the Piyutim, a little too much. So little by little they began to eliminate the compilations of Pesukim and replace them by introducing Piyutim. So what do we have now? The construction of Sliches now is like that. You have the first compilation was not touched at all. The first compilation is Shmei Atfilo Adechokol Bosra Yevei. Beautiful. Then, Manim Alefanecho Yeshiv Morim, Manisap Alefanecho Sheikh Shchokim, it's a part of the compilation, it's a part of the introduction. Then there's already a piyut. Ich niftach pele fanecho dar mesuchim. Tonight we'll say, Beinu fanim mishpach sichim. So you say a piyut, first of all the introduction. I want you to see construction in this lichas. It's not just just a conglomeration of piyutim. First of all the introduction. Then you say, Ich niftach pele fanecho dar mesuchim. This is a piyut, this is already a piyut. No, fine, it's a piyut. Then we begin to, then the piyut is concluded. Following the piyut, we say immediately, we say, Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim. הוא יסתעת כרחמך הרב מנפתוחים ואל תתכסכו הנשון ונסתכו הנמקבים קיר את בריאת השירה אתו באונון קיל הרחפיים אתו ולרח מנקרסו על דרך תשובה הרסו ויעבר השם על פונו ויקרו עד השם על השם כרח ולחד After that comes a compilation which has been abbreviated and torn considerably. I believe only the skeleton was left. Robert Chosid Nor, if Yosha Bodemarin, in Kirim Shem Hatzedet, if Yashem Kikoma Chosid, Fas Amun Ibn Odom, Kim Chome Kirchayim, Kirach Mul Abonu, Kirach Hashem Elakenu, Hashem Shalom V'chatsa Chosalu, Amin, Hashem Shmur, Hashem Shlom, Hashem Shlom, Vasi Al Ta'acha, Al Ma'al Chalai, Kishim Chanikra, Al Amecha. Then appeared again. Amy Yikro Vitzedet, Ishtay Nim Shal Kechadet. Again, Yudgim Umideis. Rachmim, Yudgim Umideis. And then a short compilation of five psukim, which is just a remainder. A very long compilation. Al Tovim Mishpati Monarchis, Vinachdol Choytov, Vinachat Kilosenu, Tzal Mitrinosenu. Again. Krachmo Valbani. Again a piyut, you understand? Again a piyut. Again Kilo Malach Yishvel Kisa Rachmim. Again the short compilation. The same compilation of psukim. It means that the compilations of psukim, which form actually the very substance of sliches, have been eliminated, have been omitted completely. Instead, they were replaced by piyutim. Of course, they are all, but not as old as the compilations. They were replaced by piyutim, but after each piyut, we say a few psukim, usually we repeat the same psukim, and we say, Adeshem, Adeshem, Kilrachim, Rechan, Rechapai, Rechasenes. And then we say, Mitzoyim Menucho, Kam Menucho Trilo, and again, all again. A piyut, again, Yidgim Umideis, and a few psukim. And then follows, I mean, Schei Rechamecho, Vashei Lono Brisoveis, and after Schei Brisoveis is Vidui, and after Vidui are the short prayers. This exactly. And you conclude. This is basically. The fourfold construction had been retained, actually. You have a compilation of psukim, it was reduced, abbreviated, what we have, I mean, the first, the introductory compilation and the concluded compilation is still extant. You have the Yudgim Umideis, Rachmim, you say it as many times, the Yudgim Umideis Rachmim depends upon the number of piyutim. If you have less piyutim, the number is limited. If you have more piyutim, the number is, increases. After each piyut, there is Yudgim Umideis Rachmim. Erev Rosh Hashanah, we have a